So, what do we say? And what do we do on days like this in the circumstances that we have witnessed, not just yesterday, but for weeks on end? We do what the church has done for 2,000 years. We pray, we listen, we speak, and we act. That is what we do. We pray to the God of all power and all creation that he would move and act on behalf of those he loves in his creation. We listen to the words of Scripture that speak to us and challenge us and cut right to the core of us. We speak the gospel of Jesus Christ into every circumstance and every place that we go. And then we go as the Holy Spirit calls us to go and act in his name. So bearing this in mind, let's pray together as God's people. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the vine, and apart from you, we can do nothing. As we witness the brokenness, pain, violence, and fear at work in our cities, we confess the same brokenness, pain, violence, and fear have been at work in our own hearts and minds. Our motives are twisted. Our understanding is biased. Our power is limited. But you, Lord, are all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Zechariah 7, verses 9 through 10 declares, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Lord, make us vessels of kindness and ambassadors of mercy to our community, especially towards the immigrants among us who are living in fear of leaving their homes and struggling to provide for their families. Lord, reveal the truth to our civic leaders that they might act justly and reject evil in all its forms. Lord, bring peace, humility, and protection to those who are called to protect and serve our communities. Lord, cause the violence to cease and cooler heads to prevail in our streets. Lord, provide for the needy, protect the innocent, defend the oppressed, comfort the afflicted, silence the enemy, bless the peacemakers, quell the chaos, and restore hope in our society. You are the vine, and apart from you, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. Lord, in your mercy and in your name, hear our prayer. Amen." Well, we are a few weeks into our new year and a few weeks into our current sermon series entitled The Vine Life. And we are basing this series on the kind of life that Jesus described in John 15 when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The vine life is about staying connected to Jesus and bearing fruit. And while we are called to this individually, certainly, we are also called to it corporately. And that's why we have been using the image of a vine and trellis to help illustrate the way our church provides organizational structure for healthy branches to grow organically. Or as Dan shared last week, there is the organization and there is the organism. And they both work together to bring health and life and growth and fruit. Last week, Dan Lugo focused on the first stave on our trellis, which is worship. And if you missed it, I highly recommend you go back and check it out on our YouTube channel, which you can access from our website. Just go and see and listen to it again or for the first time. Today, we are going to look at the second stave of our trellis, which is serve. So I'm going to invite you to have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. You can use the Bibles that are provided in the pew in front of you. Turn to page 1662. Or those of you who are watching in the fellowship hall today, you may raise your hand if you need a Bible. We'd be happy to provide you with one. And again, we will be in Galatians 5, page 1662. Now, there are countless ways to serve individually, and it would be impossible to list them all. But what we're trying to focus in on today are the particular ways that we, as a congregation, have focused our attention so that we can bear much fruit together. So what does it mean to be fruitful in serving? Well, as you see today, there is an inward fruitfulness and an outward fruitfulness. They are related to each other, and they are both connected to Jesus. So we want to dive into our passage in Galatians and see if you can hear the relationship and the connection that is right there. Beginning at verse 13, please follow along with me as I read. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Powerful words written by Paul to that church in Galatia. And he's speaking about a battle that is at work, a battle that happens inside of us. He calls it a conflict. And I would expand on that to say it's a conflict of interest. Some of you might be familiar with the term conflict of interest. It's when you are seated around a table with those in authority and are looking to make decisions, but it turns out that the decisions that you are making might directly impact something else or some other place that you are a part of, and as a result, you disclose that so that everybody knows that there may be a conflict of interest in what you are trying to do at that table in that moment. This conflict of interest is within us all the time. A conflict between what the Spirit wants and what the flesh wants. And Luther put it this way in one of his most important writings called The Freedom of the Christian. He said, a Christian is Lord of all, completely free of everything. A Christian is a servant, completely attentive to the needs of all. We live our lives between these two realities, freedom and service. And if we live there faithfully, the Holy Spirit will do his work in us and through us. This is abiding in Jesus. This is connection to the vine. When we abide in Jesus through faith, we receive everything that Jesus has done for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are set free. We're set free through faith in Jesus. Wow! Paul says this in the beginning of the chapter that we have been studying together here. In verse 1, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That is good news. We have been set free. free from bondage to sin, free from death and hell, free from trying to save ourselves, free from trying to impress God, free from guilt, free from shame. That is what Christ's freedom brings to us. His work, not ours. We have been set free. So now, we are free to serve one another humbly in love. That is the fruit of freedom. You are free to love your neighbor as yourself. So, what happens when you don't use that freedom to serve your neighbors? That freedom of service becomes self-indulgence, self-service, and self-centeredness. We serve from wrong motives, seeking to make ourselves look good to God, or out of pity toward neighbors. We withhold serving others because they haven't earned it, like we think we have. Or we declare that they are just lazy, or they don't worship like we do, or look like we do, or speak like we do. And we start to avoid our neighbors and despise others who want to offer help to our neighbors. We question their motives. We bite at each other. We destroy one another in the name of religion or power or politics. And the ones who suffer most are the very people we are called to humbly love and serve. This is the rotten fruit, the fruit of the flesh. And you can read right there in Galatians where Paul describes specifically what this fruit is like. You can read it for yourselves, but it's quite the list. And I'm willing to bet somewhere on that list you will be convicted, as you should be, and as I am. You see, in those places, if we operate in the spirit of religion, we will try to justify ourselves before God. We will take the good work that God has laid out in front of us to do, and we will do it to try and impress Him, to try and earn privilege before Him, to earn honor before Him, to earn our salvation before Him. Friends, you are free from that in Jesus' name. That is what the gospel declares to you. When we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That word all, it means all. But if we stop there, we miss the point. We miss the point that this freedom that we have, that we genuinely have before the Lord, that frees us from having to earn anything before Him. Now, out of response to that love, out of response to that freedom, we see the needs around us and we love them in the love of Christ. We serve them in humility, not to prove ourselves to God, but to show God's love to others as it has been shown to us. This is the good fruit. We don't have to live the way of bondage. We can be attentive to the needs of all, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit, His strength in us becomes His work through us when we walk with Him, and this work of the Holy Spirit produces good fruit. See, the Lord just doesn't leave us to ourselves Say, great, take that freedom and now you work extra hard to prove something to him or to our neighbor. Instead, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit goes to work in us to produce good fruit in us that then produces good fruit through us. And it sounds like Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. All of those facets of this fruit of the Spirit become part of the way in which we are filled to serve and to show compassion and care and love to our neighbors. We show it to them in love. We show it to them with joy. We show it to them in peace. We show it to them in patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, in gentleness and in self-control. This is the way in which we are called to serve. Again, not to impress God, but to live in the Spirit that God has given us, the Holy Spirit. So, how do we keep in step with the Spirit? Well, let me describe some ways to cultivate fruitfulness in service. First of all, there is initial service. You may have heard Dan using these words to describe these things. I'm using them again today. There is initial service. Initial service, that's the first step. And sometimes that first step can be the hardest. We get started in this beautiful work, our Holy Spirit-inspired work of service to our neighbor. And sometimes to get started, we just have to answer an invitation. We try to regularly provide invitation here, sometimes through next steps, sometimes just things that you will see out in the commons, opportunities to be able to serve our neighbors. And if you've never done that before, take a first step. Try it once. Just do it once and see what the Lord does. You know, we've already seen things like this. It's when people step up to maybe be a part of the community garage sale for the first time, or to be a part of the experience. Or Pastor Angie experienced this in a response to needing readers up here when we just offered an invitation. And she got overwhelmed with a whole bunch of people who want to come and read God's word on Sunday morning. Praise God! Many of them who had never done it before. That's taking that first step into initial service. And then there's moving forward into consistent service. We move from taking that first step to doing this more regularly. It's a willingness to be perhaps on a regular rotation. Maybe it's monthly or bi-monthly to come and read scripture or to usher or to serve in the nursery. Or maybe it's signing up for a regular shift working at the food shelf that we partner with. It's something that calls us into that more regular place so that it's not just a sidebar, it's not just an occasional thing that we do. It becomes a regular part of our life lived out in community. That's consistent service. From consistent service, we move towards intentional service. Now, this is when you start making serving a priority. You don't wait to be asked. You look for a need, and you go there to meet it in what God has given you. You seek out opportunities here, there, and everywhere. You call up Donna at Project Home, another one of our mission partners, and ask her, hey, what's the most urgent need that I can help with right now? We seek those places out. We look for them. They become a priority in our daily walk. We step into that place of prayer before the Lord where we say, Lord, it is a new day. What are you calling me to do on behalf of my neighbor to love them today? That's intentional service. And from intentional, we move to surrendered service. What is surrendered service? Well, this is when service costs you something. And not just monetarily, although that certainly is a part of it, but with your time and with your talents. Just yesterday morning, we sent a team of 11 people down to the Dominican Republic to work with our mission partners, Mission of Hope, down there. And you know what? They're gone for a significant period of time. They're being led by Hannah Collins on my staff. I've given her the time to go. It's part of her mission. It's part of what she does. But you know what? Everybody else who's going, they don't work for the church. Many of them work someplace else. They have day jobs. So they had to sacrifice their vacation time so that they could go and serve. That's a real cost. It's something that they maybe don't get to do another time this year, because not only have they made it a priority, they have said, I am willing, Lord, to lay down my time, my talent, my treasure. I'm willing to look to you first to say, Lord, what are you asking of me? And am I willing to lay it down? That's surrendered service. Which brings us finally to legacy service. What is legacy service? Well, there's a number of facets to legacy service. It can be leaving an example for your children to follow. There's a moment that is crystallized in my mind that I remember being with my mom and my dad, and we were out at a Pizza Hut on vacation somewhere. And while we were there, my dad noticed an individual who was sitting by himself, who looked like he had just come in from the outdoors. He looked homeless. He was hungry. And so once the pizzas arrived, my dad, without missing a beat, grabbed a few of the pieces off of there, put them on a plate, and brought them over to him and said, "Can I share this with you?" That moment has stuck in my mind. And when I see people, I think back to that moment. That's a legacy. That's an example that was set for me that now I get to walk in as well. But a legacy also includes helping others serve when you are no longer able to do it yourself. I understand and recognize that as we age, our physical abilities start to fade. We may be in spots where it's hard for us to get up and hop on a plane and head off to the Dominican Republic for a week, let alone stand on our feet down for an hour plus at the food shelf. And I've always appreciated the hearts of people who go, "Pastor, I so wish I could serve like I used to." And I go, "Well, you know what? You just have to find a new way of serving. And a powerful way that you can serve is by praying." I have had prayer warriors in every church that I have served, people who regularly will contact me and say, "Pastor, how can I be praying for you today? Or Pastor, how can I be praying for the church today? Is there someone you know that I should be praying for?" And they're committed to it, and they believe in it, and they step forward boldly to ask. That is service in a different way. And then there's also receiving the service of others with joy. This can certainly be a hard one, especially for those who have given their whole lives in service, who have maybe made their way through all of those different other layers and are now in a place where they go, "You know what? I'm now the one who needs help." It's not always something that's happened in a lifetime. Sometimes it can just happen as a moment. A struggle comes, a layoff happens, some tragedy happens in your family, and suddenly you need to be on the receiving side rather than the giving side. But you leave a legacy for those who are wanting to serve you by receiving it yourself. Because I always tell people when they're in that position, oftentimes when they will come in feeling shamed or guilty, like I don't want to bring this up. I don't want to ask for help because I've always been the one who's been helping somebody else. And I look at them and I say, listen, if you will receive these gifts right now, there'll come a day where you'll be on the other side of this. And either again or maybe for the first time, you will see a need and God will use you as the one to provide that need, to meet that need in His power. So receive it now. Share that gift of giving with someone else so that they can give. This is the kind of service that comes from being connected to the vine and supported by the trellis. So, what step are you taking today? When we invite people to first and next steps during our next steps video, in many cases and in many places, we're inviting people to take that first step, but also, once you've taken that first step, to take the next step. Where do you see yourselves in this pattern of initial service, consistent service, intentional service, surrendered service, or legacy service? Where do you see the next step that the Lord is asking you to step into? Ask the Holy Spirit today to help you take that step in a concrete way this week. And as we think about that and as we bring ourselves before the Lord in prayer, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, not to impress you with anything that we've done, but we come as the ones who need and have always need and continue to need service from you, to be served by you, Jesus, to look to the cross and see the way that you became the servant of all, the way that you came not to be served, but to serve and give your life as a ransom. Lord, remind us of that every day, and especially as we gather together as your called people in your church. It starts with you and what you have done for us. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would call us forth into the places that you want us to go. Give us ears to hear it and give us hearts to be obedient, Lord, to where you call us. Holy Spirit, you can do that work in us and you can bear that fruit in us too, so that as we go with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Do that work in us, Lord, so that you can do that work through us on behalf of our neighbor. And let that start today. Help us to take the first step or the next step in serving one another humbly in love. We pray all this today, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen.